Labas and good afternoon. This is Cass Studis today with us, and you are listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and live streaming audio, of course, anywhere in the world on the fantastic invention that, when you think about it, is less than 20 years old, the Internet. Thanks for tuning in.
Slėpkis, brolužėlį, eik žaliojo girelė, kad tu jaunas nepatektai atėjų.
Hi there, and thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. You know, if you're new to the program, or rather slight in your knowledge of Lithuanian, you know, a lot of these songs we play have that word, atejūnai. The atejūnai are the people who have come to occupy the land. And in this song particularly, it says, you know, may you not, young girl, may you not wind up in the hands of the atejūnai, of the occupiers, of your potential rapists. Well, weather is certainly miserable in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. This Saturday night, it's going to be a grand low of 32 degrees. Tomorrow, it's going to get up to 40. And then the rest of the week, 39, 31, 36, 31, 37, 33, 39, 33, 38, 31, and 37, 32 next Saturday night. So there you got it. If it ain't fall, it's certainly early winter in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. And, of course, we keep talking about energy prices because Lithuania pays 500%, 600 times more for natural gas, that is, to heat their apartments and homes, than anybody else in the European Union. Okay, those numbers change, by the way, okay, because it's all political. Maybe it's 400% more 1 month, okay? But it ain't like 200%, okay? It's 400, 500, 600% more to heat an apartment in Lithuania than it is anywhere else in the EU. We're going to keep reminding you about it. Remember, that is why it is so important, so extremely important for Lithuania to become energy independent, including, yes, including doing things like drilling for shale oil and fracking, because there's lots and lots and lots of it, especially along the Polish-Lithuanian border. Even with all the corruption in Gazprom, Gazprom needs money to sue. I mean, excuse me, the Energy Ministry of Lithuania needs money to sue Gazprom. Energy Ministry has asked the European Union for $2.32 million for litigation expenses with Gazprom. The Energy Ministry has asked to earmark 8 million lithas, or 2.32 million euros, from next year's budget for Lithuania's litigation with Russia's gas giant Gazprom in Stockholm arbitration. Yeah, Lithuania has taken Gazprom to court in Stockholm, the Seimas budget, it's the parliament, and finance committee is inclined to satisfy this request and propose to the government to earmark additional 8 million lithas to cover the costs of these legal services. It's necessary to make allocations where the projects of national importance are concerned, where money is required to achieve good economic results in the future. We do not question these things. These are matters concerning the whole state, said Bronis Bradauskas, the panel's chairperson, according to Baltic News Services, which he said on Monday. Again, Lithuania filed a lawsuit against Gazprom at Stockholm Arbitration Court back in October a year ago, 2012. Okay, so we continue with the Gazprom news and everything, because this affects so many millions of dollars and your friends and your relatives and the cost of their energy in Lithuania that we have to cover this. Boring or not, you must educate on your stuff. This is actually an opinion piece by a gentleman known as Ramūnas Bogdanas, in which he analyzes a series of recent Russian actions directed against Lithuania. A well-organized defense, and this is true, is able to resist an onslaught of considerably stronger force. The first precondition for those who are making the defense is to interdistribute the functions correctly, and the second one is to utilize all the external circumstances to the best extent possible. Some people find that the consecutive attacks of Russia against Lithuania are a punishment for our successful presidency of the European Union, which should end with a summit in Vilnius and the signing of the association agreements with the Eastern Partnership countries, whereas others believe that Russia is trying in the old ways to help its individual business sectors. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, we are courting Ukraine. That's the big prize. We are courting Ukraine. However, there is one company which, during Putin's government, enjoyed his special protection and which embodies personal and national interest, economic and political objectives. This company is Gazprom. It has become one of the principal sources of the budget funds as well as a Russian political instrument. Remember, they own most of Lietuvos Dujos. That's the Lithuanian gas company. In the summer of 2012, the International Arbitrage in Stockholm rejected the claim of Gazprom against Lithuania regarding the government's action against Lietuvos Dujos. In autumn 2012, Lithuania filed a claim against Gazprom to the same International Arbitrage in Stockholm regarding the unjust gas prices, seeking adjustment of $1.9 billion. Not Litai! $1.9 billion U.S. dollars. That's like $2 billion with a B, U.S. dollars, that the Lithuanian users have overpaid. Get that? Lithuanians have overpaid $2 billion. How many Lithuanians are there? Test, about 3 million. How many households do you think that is? $2 billion U.S. dollars that Lithuanian users have overpaid. It's a sin. And if there's a hell, we'll meet them there. Having analyzed this claim, the European Commission specialist concluded that it was prepared most professionally. High-level sources in Moscow state that Putin has already received the unpleasant news that Lithuania is very likely to win against Gazprom at the Stockholm court. Is this not why, at the end of the day, at the end of the summer, that a rumor reached Vilnius that the chairman of the board of Gazprom, Alexei Miller, I like that name, Alexei Miller himself, was going to pay us a visit? The leader of Gazprom in Vilnius, the wait for a visit was decorated with prophetic signs. On the 30th of August, the government officially confirmed that Miller, I love this Russian's name, Miller, this just kills me, was coming to the sitting of the board of Lietuvos Dujos, the Lithuanian gas company. However, it did not have an affirmation of Miller's meeting with the prime minister. On the same day, a thorough inspection of the vehicles with Lithuanian numbered license plates began at the checkpoints of the Lithuanian Kaliningrad border. Okay, Kaliningrad is that little enclave of Russia. All right. The movement of goods and people were disrupted. A representative of the Russian customs in the Baltic states explained that the procedure was intended for determining the, quote, tendencies of possibly carrying certain goods. Yeah, the diplomats are going to smuggle cigarettes, I'm sure. After these warm-up actions on the 6th of September, Miller arrived at the meeting held at the building of the government of the Republic of Lithuania. Although he was 20 minutes late, remember he got delayed at the border, although he was 20 minutes late, the chairman of the board of Gazprom was demonstrably making no haste. He was in no hurry. That is how the rulers visit their vassals, showing to everyone and let everyone know who is the superior one. Based on a globally known habit of Algirdas Butkevičius to change his opinion several times a day, we've talked about him, remember? Probably the worst prime minister we've ever had. Algirdas Butkevičius, who changes his mind several times a day. The author is saying, I am guessing that Miller had access to certain information and that he came to accept our reverential agreement with the terms of Gazprom in exchange for a promise to reduce the gas price. It has emerged, however, that Butkevičius was no myopic one in rose-colored glasses, and a two-hour discussion between Miller and the Prime Minister that Friday finished not exactly as the guest had anticipated. I do not know who, with, and what about Miller spoke that Monday as he returned to Moscow. But already on Tuesday, the 10th of September, two months ago, the Russian in-country customs commenced detailed inspections of the Lithuanian carriers with the task to find something. That's when the blockade started, the trade war we've been talking about for weeks. The carriers were the closest target at hand, since the TIR problem had already matured, and when the economic problems are supported by top-level political will, actions begin immediately. On September 25th, not all that long ago, the government sent its proposals to Gazprom. On September 26th, President Dalia Grybauskaitė, the only one with any respect left in this whole thing, by the way, delivered a speech at the United Nations headquarters in New York, telling publicly about the methods of the economic blackmail that Russia was embarking on in order to effect the self-determination of the independent countries. Is anybody listening? Later in Vilnius, the president raised a discussion by noting that she focused more on the work with the EU organizations, leaving it for the government to resolve the relationship with Russia. The distribution of tasks either on the construction site or on the battlefield. Did you hear that? The distribution of tasks either on the construction site or on a battlefield is a matter of course. The language gets more and more warlike. Whether this distribution was analyzed well by all the forces sitting down at the table, it's a different question. On the 7th of October, a gentleman named Rospozender, I'm sorry about that, but I just can't say it, Rospozender directed the customs not to allow the import of Lithuanian milk products, okay? To no avail did Lithuania, on its part, request tests results that would prove unsatisfactory quality of Lithuanian dairy and milk products. They were not even presented to Antanas Vinkus, the Prime Minister's advisor, although he was the only individual found acceptable by the Chief Sanitary Inspector of Russia, Gennady Onyshenko, who called Lithuania a microscopic new formation. You get that? They're calling Lithuania this microscopic new formation. Although Vinkus has long been used to lying down like a mat when he needed to be walked upon, it was not enough this time. This diplomatic blank, approved by the Prime Minister, reminded everyone more of the scrounging from the center in the Soviet era. Such Russian-imposed Byzantine diplomacy, surrounded with sweet gifts, is not appropriate for a country that is presiding over the European Union. Neither the president's strict words uttered from the UN tribune, nor the Vinkus-like flattery helped. Putin would only settle with one thing. If we agreed to continue carrying the Gazprom leash, he would definitely let us brawl whatever we want into consolation. Now, however, the mood of the Kremlin master is reflected by a dark and overcast autumn sky. In other words, Putin's saying, keep paying us here at Gazprom, we'll let you do what you want. On October 16th, okay, this is a month ago, October 16th, Gazprom responded to the Lithuanian government with a letter stating that it was ready to continue the dialogue. On the 17th of October, the press agent of the Russian Prime Minister, Dmitry Medvedev, stated that Medvedev would only be available to speak to Butkevicius on the 28th of October. He's a busy man. The topics would include connections with Kaliningrad and the communications of the citizens in that border zone. Not a word about milk or gas. In diplomatic terms, this meant pressure, not negotiation. These days, the governor of Kaliningrad has also begun speaking about the corridor to the region. This is reminiscent of a corridor through Poland that the Nazis had all the way to Danzig. We know how free access ends. On the 18th of October, the Minister of Energy, Yaroslav Neverovich, went to St. Petersburg for a meeting with Alexander Medvedev, CEO of Gazprom Exports. He should have been overtaken by a tearful appeal of Valdemaras Vareika, the new Director General of Achema, to attain, by all possible means, a 20% discount on the gas price, because otherwise both the production of fertilizer and the entire Yonova production is finished. Apparently, at the beginning of October, Vareika visited Gazprom in Moscow. The content of the talks was not made public. It is difficult to run a business that depends on the mercy of Gazprom rather than on markets. On the same Friday, October 18th, it's just a few weeks ago, same Friday, October 18th, an anti-Lithuanian picket with red Rodina party flags, so red communist flags, took place at the Lithuanian embassy in Moscow. According to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Dmitry Rogozin's people were spotted there. This politician, with imperialistic views, appointed by Putin as a representative of Russia to NATO, was famous for his anti-Western remarks. Now he is a deputy prime minister of Russia. It is obviously expected that the cheese and other arguments would already have been duly fermented and thinned. The government quite the contrary. Therefore, the message at the meeting between Neverovich and Medvedev was rather peculiar. As it happened, the minister had to be invited to St. Petersburg in order to find out that Gazprom, quote, needed more time to assess the proposals. On the same day, back on October 18th, the Lithuanian government gained substantial EU support. Hear that? This is the good news. On October 18th, the Lithuanian government gained substantial EU, European Union, support. Finally, the EU trade ministers, who held a sitting in Luxembourg, denounced the sanctions of Russia, and their conclusions to defend EU exporters were to be communicated at the 24th-25th October summit of the European Council. The European Union, ladies and gentlemen, the Western Europeans are finally seeing the communists for what they are. This reset idea, this idea that you can talk and negotiate to them, is finally, finally coming to an end. Also on October 18th, the EU representative to the World Trade Organization, WTO, spoke of the unacceptability of the blockade that Russia has imposed on Lithuanian products. Russia has sought WTO membership for many, many years now, and now the actions that this newcomer has taken against Lithuania may be discussed at the conference of the WTO ministers that is to be held on the 3rd through 6th of December in Indonesia. Just a few weeks away. The WTA, World Trade Organization, treats the European Union as a single economic unit. The EU is one of the largest economies in the world taken on its own, and its voice is of capital importance. The collective gross domestic product of the EU countries is approximately 16.5 trillion US dollars. For comparison, the GDP of Russia in 2012 amounted to approximately 2 trillion US dollars. Get it? EU countries, 16.5 trillion. Russia, 2 trillion. 8.5 times more. Money talks, ladies and gentlemen. With the help of our allies and by our own focus, we really have fair possibilities to finally withstand the last attempts of Moscow, of the Kremlin, to keep the leash on Lithuania via its dependence on Gazprom, the natural gas company of the former Soviet Union. We'll be right back.
Palinko, liepa, šalia kelio, pravirko motina sena, sūneli, tėvynė tave šaukia, ir vėl laisva bus Lietuva. Sūneli, tėvynė tave šaukia, ir vėl laisva bus Lietuva. Aš toli, toli iškeliaus, nuo tėviškėlis, nuo brangio. Mergaitė, neliūsk vieną palikus, aš vėl sugrįšiu pas tave. O jei aš žūsiu už tėvynę.
Hey, if you've ever been to Lietuva, there's a Roma settlement. Roma, R-O-M-A. They're gypsies, okay? And there's some romantic, okay, you know, gypsies dancing with their golden earrings and all that stuff. But frankly, they live in a slum, and that's where you go to get your heroin. If you want to get some heroin in Lithuania, you go to the Roma neighborhood. It's a problem. It really is. And a lot of people have a lot of sympathy, and there's a lot of people that want to save the culture and all that stuff. But you know what? BS. I walked around there. It's scary. Anyway, derelict and unfinished buildings are being demolished at a Roma settlement in Vilnius, the Lithuanian capital, authorities said on Monday. Three derelict and partly burned out buildings and the carcasses of one other building were being demolished this past Friday, and demolition work continues on Monday. The buildings were built without permits and were uninhabited, according to the city. Based on the census last year, over 2,000 Roma, or gypsies, lived in Lithuania. And this is some of the best news you're going to hear in a long time. I'm very serious about this. Pay attention. This is some of the best news you're going to hear in a long time. The number of first graders in Lithuanian schools increased in 2013. You hear that? The number of first graders, that's little kids, going to school in Lithuania increased in 2013. Although in the last seven years, the number of school children in Lithuania schools decreased by almost a third. Decreased by 30%. In 2013, there are 2,000 more first graders compared to 2012. According to the data of the Ministry of Education and Science, 351,400 school children will start the new school year. Around 29,000 of them are first graders, 2,000 more than last year. The ministry has informed that 1,229 primary and secondary schools and 260 non-formal education institutions will operate this year in Lithuania. Some 40,000 students will attend 70 Lithuanian vocational schools, while 28,000 students will study in Lithuanian universities and colleges. Maybe, just maybe, Lithuanians are having a little more kids, a few more babies, and maybe some immigrants are finally coming home. Good news for Lithuania. And if it isn't Positive News Day on Independent Lithuanian Radio, I mean, I guess if you could call this positive news. Lithuanians, here's the headlines. Lithuanians are satisfied with their housing conditions. Yes. They like where they live, I guess. Based on the data provided by the Statistics of Lithuania, 85%, not bad, huh? 85% of Lithuanians are satisfied with their housing conditions, according to the Baltic Course. 9% of those polled said they were very satisfied with their housing, while that's less than 10% are very satisfied. But anyway, 9% are very satisfied with their housing, while 76% of respondents assured us that they were satisfied with their housing. Some 15% of those polled were unsatisfied with their housing, whereas 3% complained about very bad living conditions. So basically, 15% of people aren't real happy, and 3% of people think their housing situation sucks. Respondents living in rural areas were more satisfied with their housing conditions than those living in urban areas, relatively 86% to 84%. Well, yeah, if you lived out in the woods and had mushrooms and berries and friendly wild animals wandering around, you'd be a lot more satisfied living there too than in some slummy part of town. This is Kestutis Davidus, hoping you enjoyed yourself today listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Once again, I want to thank you for all of your generous donations. You people have been so good to me, and especially, again, Lance Williams. Thanks for tuning in to Independent Lithuanian Radio. This is Kestutis Davidus, KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and, of course, live streaming audio over the Internet anywhere in the world, live at ktym.com. Tune in next week. Bye-bye.
Vienišas jo kapas aplinku miškai sargybo kryželį tik balto matai. Oi, lyle, oi, lyle, oi, lyle, lyle, sargyboj kryželį tik balto matai. Aplinkui paniūrus tamsioji gyria ir audrai užėjus jis staugia skausme. Oi, lyle, oi, lyle, oi, lyle, lyle, ir audrai užėjus jis staugia skausme. Bučiuoja gėlavės jo kapą švelniai, jam gėda paukšteliai gražiai ir ramiai. Oi, lyle, oi, lyle, oi, lyle, lyle, jam gėda paukšteliai gražiai ir ramiai.